Thank you, Lord, for Patricia and the message that you've given her today. We offer you our ears and our hearts to listen to what you have to say through her. And we thank you. Please bless Patricia and may she flow with the Holy Spirit as she speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time,
amen.
The Lord is good. Amen. As you may all know, my name is Patricia. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Can you believe it's been about 5 years now that I haven't found myself behind the pulpit? Since I came into this country, I never had the opportunity to preach. As some of you may know, by the grace of God, I'm a pastor, and I was pastoring back home in my country, Botswana. And it never really stops, it never really ends. I've been here with you for some years now, and there was a day when the Lord told me it is now time. And I knew the time had come, and I had to do what I must do, what I'm commissioned to do. Hallelujah. I'm going to start by reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, from verse 11. And it says, "The dead are judged. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of life, into the lake of fire." The question now is, what is life? What is the purpose of our life? Why are we here? What really is life? Why are we here and where are we going from here? Because we know there is a day, this day will come. It's inevitable. One day this day will come to each and every one of us. That is when we will leave this world. That is when we will separate from this house that we live in. That is when the spirit will come out from the body and go back where it came from. I know a lot of people would say, we really don't want to know this kind of messages. We don't want to hear them anymore. We have heard them, and they are now old school. But God is forever. He was there yesterday, he's here today, and he will be there forever. With life, normal life, ordinary life, it starts with birth. A child is born into the world. We celebrate, we rejoice the birth of the child. The child grows up. We nurture the child. We take the child for education and prepare them for the life and prepare them for life out there. The child then starts working. The child starts making a life of themselves. They may even have a family of their own and they continue the cycle of having a family, having children, and the children also doing the same that their parents did to them. And then comes retirement, and after retirement, then death, because no one can escape death. Hallelujah. Now, when we talk of death, when we talk of life, we talk of life in the spirit. We are not talking of the life that is the normal life. We are talking of the life that is in the spirit, because that is the life that belongs to God. And that is the life that God recognizes. Whatever you do with your body, whatever you do here on earth, you will be answerable. Your spirit will be answerable when you get to heaven. Hallelujah. When we go to the book of John 1, it's a scripture that we all know. And the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Let's underline the word, Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. He was with God in the beginning. And when we go to back to Genesis, when there was creation, in the time of creation, from verse 1, Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. The Word said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. That is still the Word. And this Word, we know that in the beginning, he was with God. And he was God himself. Now, we go and find out who this Word is. And we find him in the book of John still. Chapter 1. And verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So when we look at it, and we all know who the Son of God was. We all know who came to earth to give us light. Who came to earth to give us life. And that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, it is really important for us to live understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he did in our life. I know these days there are so many controversies going about, like especially back in Africa, they have started something that they call, they are now questioning, they have started questioning about the genuineness of God, the genuineness of Jesus. And they are saying, he is not our God, he is a God for white people, because he was a white person. And we are blacks, we are Africans, we have our own gods. But we know that God is not looking at color, he's not looking at race, he's not looking at your sex, gender. God is looking at the spirit that is in you. That very spirit that in the beginning, when there was creation, when they were created, it was God and the Holy Spirit, and the Word was there. The Word that we know is Jesus Christ. They said, let us make man in our own likeness, in our own image. And they made man. Man was made, was created. Then he was just a spirit, because it also tells us in the beginning, the spirit hovered, was hovering on the surface. The spirit was hovering. It had no form. You could not really touch it. It wasn't tangible, but it was hovering. And the spirit is the one that said, let there be. Let there be. Everything during creation, it was let there be, let there be. And the word that we just learned, that we all know, is Jesus Christ, was also present. It was only afterwards that some mud was taken and it was molded. And it came Adam. That mold was lying there, lifeless, until the spirit was breathed into him, which is the spirit of God, which is the likeness of God, which now made Adam to have the likeness of God in him. Hallelujah. We just read from Revelation 20, 11, which really shows us what's going to happen in the end. And we just, we are coming from when we were created, when man was created, and the end. So what happens in between? From the time you are created, from the time you are born, and to the time when you leave this world. What happens? What are we expected to do? What am I supposed to do? Am I only supposed to go the normal way, be born, go to school, get my education, get a career, and wait for my retirement, and wait for my death? Because that is what we all wish, as we, nobody wants to die young. Everybody wants to reach beyond what God has given us, because God gave us 70 years of life, and he says anything beyond 70 years is a bonus, really. So every one of us is aiming for that bonus. So now, are we really just here waiting for death to come? What is it that we ought to do? The answer lies in the Word, in the book of God, in the book of life. The answer lies in the Bible, because this is where we are told what to do. What are we really here for? Even if you live up to 150 years of life on this earth, but one day you will die and you are going to live for eternity, because when you reach heaven, you are never going to come back here. You are going to live there forever. So what should we do? Why are we here? The answer is simple. We are here on preparation. We are here on training. We are here just being prepared for eternal life. I always give an example and say, if a child was born this morning at 10 a.m., and by 10:30, 30 minutes later, the child passes on, dies. By 12 o'clock, that child has died longer than the child was alive on this earth. So this is exactly that is going to happen to us. After we die, we are going to be in heaven for eternity. And in heaven, there is order. There is order in heaven. There is how things are done. This is why I'm saying we are here on preparation for eternity. Because every one of us wants to make heaven. This is why Jesus Christ came over. He came down. He came to live amongst us. Because he could see that we were now relaxed. Man was relaxed. And man had forgotten. Man had forgotten that in creation, he was commanded what to do when he was being blessed. And we forgot even about the commandments that we were given. Jesus came because there was so much chaos on earth. And he came so that he may reconcile us with God. And he started teaching us. He started showing us the way. But what I like about him is that he gives us a choice. He says, I give you, the words that I give you are life. But you have a choice to what you want. Jesus Christ tells us about heaven, and he also tells us about hell. And he says, the choice is us, it's ours. What do we want to choose? How do you go to heaven? How do you make heaven? It's coming to church every Sunday, being there for an hour and a half, and then going back enough to make you go to heaven, to make you a candidate of heaven. No. No. You have to make it a lifestyle. Because there is a lifestyle there in heaven. You need to start practicing here on earth. In the year 1995, that was before I was born again, I had an experience that I never forgot. Even today as I speak, I see that every day of my life. And it always reminds me. I'll say, I used to be one person who also didn't know about this because of my background. Having come from a traditional African family, we had our own cultures, we had our own cultural practices and our own beliefs. We had our own gods, although our gods were not extreme. We were not sacrificing people like other gods. But we had our own gods. The god that we, because I come from a country that is mainly desert, the god that we mainly were worshiping to was the god of rain, because we come from a desert. So every time we would pray, we would have festivals and dance and ask for the gods to release rain. Actually, there would be some people who would have the spirit of calling rain, and they would go, they would have festivals, and it would be lived. Although I don't know if it was really that time, or whether they knew the timing, because our rainy season is summer, from November to February, that's when we have our summers, and that's when we have rain. So these festivals will be held just before summer, so that when now it starts to manifest, then they will say, okay, they prayed. Until I had that experience myself, and I was taken to heaven. And I've seen, I have heard, and I promised to come back and tell my fellow people how heaven is like and what is needed. It is true about this book of life. I saw that book before I even knew about the Bible, because I only started knowing about the Bible, reading the Bible, at the age of 40. But when I saw that in 1995, I was 28. So years later, when I was 40, I came across this scripture. And I was like, wait a minute. I know this place. I've seen this place. Hallelujah. And that put something in my heart to say I would really love to see people go there. Because I have been assured, I was given my key, I was given my house and my key, and I know that my name is in that book. And I promised I'll come and share this message. And when my time is up, I will go back and claim my house. One thing that I should say, at the age of 28, I had so many relatives, so many friends, and so many people from my community, from my country, that I knew had passed on. Many of them. But amongst those people that I saw there, the multitudes that I saw there, I only saw 5 people that I knew. Only 5 who were dressed in white. And then I was like, where are the rest of the people that I know had died? Where are they? And they said, no, we don't know. Maybe they have gone to another place that we don't know. We are here. And it is not easy to come to this place. To make heaven, you need to work very hard. How do you work hard? By submitting to the will of God. Hallelujah. We are only just here to do the will of God. We are only just here to follow the commandments. Because even Jesus Christ, I have heard some people say, we are a new church, we are the new churches. We are now a New Testament church. We don't refer to the Old Testament. Those were Moses and whoever, they were old prophets. We don't refer to that anymore because we are a new church. But Jesus Christ himself, he came and he told us, I did not come to say you should not follow Moses' commandments. But a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another. Hallelujah. So that's a big challenge. When we come to church, are we only coming to church to read the Bible and sing and then go home? Are we really submitting? Are we really doing the will of God? And what is the will of God? We find the will of God in here. Because this is the manual of life. What are the commandments? We find them here. And we are born with those commandments. Who told a child not to kill an ant? Who told a child not to lie? You know that children, when they are born and even when they start talking, they will not tell a lie. They will not do anything that is out of the way if you study them very well. They are influenced by us adults. We teach them. When someone is coming to see me and I don't want to see them, I tell my child, go to the door and tell this person that I'm not here. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says, unless you become as a child, then you cannot understand the kingdom of heaven. You cannot. We need to purify our hearts. We need to turn away from our wicked ways. I've heard people challenging me and saying, if it says, thou shalt not kill, I never killed anybody. I'm innocent. That one commandment, I'm correct. But I say, you have killed. You cannot say you have not killed. Because it doesn't mean literally killing somebody. But it means, have you ever said anything to degrade somebody? Or to put someone down so much that that little light that they had in them was put off? If at some point you did that, you killed. Because you killed, you contributed to killing that spirit, to killing that light, the light that was in them, by your ways. The choice is ours. When Jesus Christ was going, he said, I am going. And I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'll ask the Father to send you another one, who is the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He will be in you. And him, he will remind you of all the things that I told you. How much do we listen to the Holy Spirit as he guides us, as we sail through all these trials and tribulations of life, going on our way to heaven? How much do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Do we live in the will of God? Do we do what God wills? People always ask me why I'm here in this country. Why did you leave your church and go to the UK? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I had a career back home. I was okay. I had good connections. I have worked with 3 presidents on personal level. And I have a lot of awards under my belt, recognition of my work, my charity work, because I have a charity organization caring for orphans and other children in need. For my work, for working with communities, the government of my country even gave me a mandate to try and go all over the country. They'll sponsor me, and as I go all over the country, just try and revive the communities. Then I was a pastor in a church, and then I had to come to the UK. Why? Because God told me, I will take you and send you where I want you to be. And I said, yes, Lord, send me wherever you want me to go. Some years back, I was sent to Cape Town in South Africa. People thought I was crazy when I told them I am being told to go to South Africa. Packed my bags, flew to South Africa, Cape Town, although I knew no one there. When I reached the airport, I was just standing there not knowing where to go, until I got a taxi and I said, please take me to the nearest hotel. And the taxi man took me there. I was there for 3 nights. It was silent. Can you imagine that when I left my country, I was so bold and people were discouraging me and they were saying Cape Town is a dangerous area, South Africa is a dangerous country, how can you go there, you don't know anyone. And I was so bold and I said, that is because I'm going with who has told me to go, I am going with him. He'll take care of me. But when I got to Cape Town, 3 nights, it was silent. It was like he had abandoned me. Then I decided, well, I'm not going to be here. Maybe people back home were right, I'm crazy. So I phoned the airport and I told them I was taking the next flight the next morning. After I made that call, I fell into a deep sleep and I was told, you are not going anywhere because now is the time. I'm going to send you to a church, and in this church you're going to be trained and you are going to be prepared for greater work that is coming for you. Well, and then the next day I found myself in Baptist, in a Baptist church. They call it Langa Baptist Church. Even though I didn't know much about churches, but a Baptist church, because back home there are these charismatic churches, they call them Pentecostals, are fashionable. They are fashionable. And Roman Catholic, Baptist, you call it Church of England. Back home we call it Anglican. We call it the Anglican Church. It's the same, Church of England. So now the youth and this generation, they prefer the charismatic one there. And these others are old school. But then I was like, but why? Why was I sent to this church? But I was there for 6 months. And I saw God working. Because I completely submitted to his will. And I said, well, I'm here. Just do what you want to do with me. So, when it was time for me to come to the UK, the same thing happened. And I packed my bags and I came. And here I am today. I've been here. He's been silent for almost 5 years. Until when he told me it is time. At first I was reluctant because English is my third language. I have my mother tongue, which is Kalanga. I have our national language, which is Setswana. We are from Botswana, national language is Setswana. And then we have English. For most of us, English is our third language. For other people, it's even fourth language. This is my first time that I have ever stood before a congregation and given a sermon in completely in English. I wasn't really sure that I could do it. But because I have faith in God, I knew that who has sent me, he will say, all that I need to do is present myself and let my mouth move up and down, open, and he will do the work. Hallelujah. Now, we go back to Revelation to say how many of us really want to have their names in the Book of Life. How many of us want to die once? Because Jesus Christ said, man is meant to die once. When you make heaven, when your name is in the Book of Life, then you live. But if your name is not in the Book of Life, you are going to die a second death. And you spend your life in hell. Some people say there is no hell, but there is hell. Because there is a rich man who died and he went to hell. And he saw Lazarus passing by. He was burning. He says, Lazarus, come help me. I'm burning, I'm dying, I'm burning. He was burning and death was not coming to him. He was suffering. And he said, please, could you please at least give me a drop of water inside your nail to quench my thirst? This means this man was really desperate. What can a drop of water inside a nail, a bent nail. What can it do? And then he said, please, when you go back, tell my brothers and my people that they should listen. I didn't listen, and I am now in hell. Hallelujah. Because this word has been going on. People have been told over and over and over again to repent from their ways, to submit to the will of God, to go according to his commandments. But some would not listen. And then they say, we don't care. We don't care what happens. And they say, this is just a book that was written by men. This book was written by men, but these men were inspired by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Christianity is a lifestyle. No one is perfect. Our way is very hard. Every one of us struggles. That is why we need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need Jesus to be with us, alongside us. Because he also promises us that I will not leave you nor forsake you. Even if you go through hard times, let's focus. Let's take our eyes and look up and forward and look upwards and forward. Forward and upwards. We should not in any day think that God has forsaken us. And we should not in any day give up. Hallelujah. The book of Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall follow. He says, why do you worry about what you should wear tomorrow or what you would eat tomorrow? Look at the birds. Don't I provide for them? By morning they are singing. They eat, in the evening they go to bed. So if we do the will of God, God will provide for us, because he promises us that he will provide for us. The only thing that we need to do is to do his will. He gave us many talents. Let's use our talents. He tells us to love. Let us love. The God kind of love, not that other love. Because you cannot go about just loving everybody, starting relationships with everyone. That God kind of love. When you see somebody in need, how do you feel towards them? Do you say, it is not my issue, I don't know them, they are not my relative? Or do you give the last that you have? Sometimes it is not even to give material things. It is just to chat, like what we do as the spirit pastors do. It's to chat with somebody, talk to somebody. I know you are aware that I do cleaning, free cleaning services for people out there, especially the elderly. Most of them, really, when I get there, their houses are clean. I don't, maybe I'll go there thinking I'll take 2 hours. But when I get there, it only takes me 10 minutes because the house is clean. But they only need somebody to talk to. And we sit down and we have, you know, the English aged and tea. We drink tea. And then after 20 minutes, we make another cup of tea and cakes. And then another cup of tea, and then I enjoy it, they enjoy it. And by the time I go, sometimes I just think, okay, I'll be there for, I have learned my lesson. Normally I used to plan and say I'll be there for only an hour. But now I make it in such a way that I should be free. Whether it's going to be taking me 5 hours, I'll be there just listening. And also just chipping in and also just telling, answering those questions and sharing what I know as well. And yeah, do we have time to do that? We have people in care homes. Do we visit them? Just to give them that love. Is it really so hard? Sometimes we hear that our church members are not well. Do we personally go there and see them? Or do we just write a card and send it? Do unto men what you would want them to do for you. Hallelujah. And that is the God kind of love. That is what God wants us to do. In part of preparation for us on our way to heaven. It is not a scary journey. And he knows we falter, because he says, when I'm weak, you are strong for me. He knows. He knows that there are times when we are weak and we drag ourselves. Sometimes you want to come to church, to come and hear, because in church we hear the word of God. And the word of God is our food. We feed the soul. We feed the spirit with the word of God. And sometimes you feel weary. You don't want to come. And he knows. But when you call out to him, he'll come and help you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. As a last thing, if there's anyone here who says, I would like to give my life to Jesus, or I would like to rededicate my life to Jesus, because I want to make heaven. Could you please silently say this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart and in my spirit and confess with my mouth that you are the Son of God. You died on the cross and rose again so that I may live. I invite you into my heart to reside inside of me. Amen. God bless us all. When we all get to heaven,
rejoicing
that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. We are victorious.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Patricia. Lots to think about there. What's the purpose of our life? Walking with the Lord, loving him, doing what he asks us to do, blessing others. And yes, waiting for that lovely day when we meet him face to face.